Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I am Tom Dekar, the Wolf of Dog Street, here for another week, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, buddy?
They're calling me Tommy Technical Difficulties this week. But other than that, I'm doing well.
Namara.
Yes, that's what they said. Yeah, it works perfectly. But I'm doing well.
Very good. Is that a Bud Light you're drinking?
This is a Labatt Blue Light from our friends north of the border.
Whoa, that's perfect for this week's episode, because we're talking about Sum 41 with Paige Weldon.
I wish I could say I put that together, but I didn't.
What a pro.
Fully on purpose, I'm sure.
Usually we would never drink on the show.
These are dire circumstances.
I'm having a Bud Light seltzer, which doesn't count as alcohol.
You know, it's different. Damn, I should have gotten something.
It's not okay. Too late.
Stop everything. I'll be right back. No, it's not that important.
This is a weird time. I feel bad that I feel responsible for Tommy's technical difficulties because it's my board. So it's like I feel some sort of ownership over it. Like, it won't work for any man but me. It knows its father, and I apologize.
Well, I've been told my whole life I have a Fonz-like quality, so I've just been hitting it like the jukebox, and that hasn't been helping for some reason.
Weird.
And that explains how it got that fat lip. We're talking about Sum 41 today, everybody.
Oh, snap. And, damn, you just keep bringing it back.
No, we usually don't talk about the band this early. In fact, we're going to try to kill time for the next 25 minutes, so you might want to know. Just kiddies. JFK, just fucking kidding. That's another catchphrase that I've been trying to get going for a while.
I'll see if I can incorporate it into my daily use.
Hell yeah. How's quarantine life going for you, Paige?
You know, fine.
Yeah.
Although I think I had my saddest moment of quarantine today. Multiple of our outlets stopped working.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I was in the middle of reheating a burger from last night.
Oh, my God. That is the worst. The same thing happened to me like 4 days ago. I was trying to make coffee and the outlet stopped working. I thought that I was just a dumbass and I gave up. And then like an hour later, it started working when I didn't want coffee anymore. So,
oh my God, it would.
The way it goes.
Yeah. So it's I ate like a lukewarm leftover burger today. So that's not great. But otherwise, I cannot complain.
Is it so? Was it just one outlet, like a few outlets that were doing it, and then others were working?
Multiple outlets in our kitchen stopped working, but one is still working.
Oh, my God. Do you have roommates, I'm guessing?
I live with my boyfriend.
That's exciting. All right.
Yeah, so...
Boy, I said that.
So, we got an extension cord going to keep the fridge plugged in, you know.
That
pretty
is a
inventive.
True nightmare. Mm-hmm. What is that, like, one of those... We reset a circuit breaker or something like that. I clearly didn't do it, but we did it. And
well, ours is not in our apartment, so we have to call and have someone do it. That's the thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
That is brutal.
Yeah. My doorknob is broken and not to the main apartment, just to my bedroom.
Okay.
But
we just saw you break it in anger. On the Zoom.
So I emailed the landlord and he was like, well, I can drop a new one off, but I don't want to come into your space, you know, with social distancing. So can you just install it yourself? And I was like, you'd be surprised. He was like, oh, it's so simple. I was like, I don't know.
He's like, it's easier than making a pot of coffee. Tommy famously cannot do.
There's got to be a YouTube video where
for
someone
sure.
installs a doorknob.
You should just pay Tim to do it straight up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he won't care that much about social distancing, and he definitely, the one trade-off is he for sure has it, but you are gonna get it, but at least it'll be a cheap doorknob installation.
Yeah, there you go.
Does Zach not have the ability to do that?
Zach abandoned me. He went upstate. Both my roommates fled town.
Mm.
Damn.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, so you have the place to yourself. Benefit.
Very nice. Yes.
You have no doorknob.
Yes.
I guess it doesn't matter if no
tragedy.
One's home.
Very good point. Yeah. So, I might just let it ride.
Yeah. No,
is it your front door doorknob?
No, it's just my bedroom.
Oh, that's okay.
I'll put up a sign that says if the knobs are broken, don't come looking.
Don't come a choking. You're into choke stuff normally. As soon as that knob gets fixed, the choke sex starts back up, and that's quite a thrill. But
and did you explain that to your landlord that it's urgent for that?
It was a very detailed email. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sometimes you have to be clear. You know. I called my landlord, and he immediately said, "Can I come and look?" He's an old man. He doesn't understand what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if he had simply not heard of the situation. I really wouldn't. I said, man, no,
I wonder if anybody's in that situation, like how Jared Leto didn't find out for like 9 days.
Oh, my God.
I wonder if there's like an even more like older, sexy actor who doesn't know. Like, I didn't find out for 35 days because
it's a contest for sure.
Yeah.
Who cannot know for the longest and for the stupidest reason.
Do you think Harrison Ford knows about this?
For sure. Does, I think right? He does. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. I'm not sure who doesn't.
Like, I feel like if Michael Jackson was alive, and I love to bring him up, I feel like then he wouldn't have known about this.
Yeah.
Like, even if he was alive, I feel like somehow this would have evaded him.
He'd have to get a second glove.
That's why he was moonwalking, was for social distancing. He was going backwards.
Getting 6 feet away. Mm-hmm. 6 feet of moonwalking.
Have you been doing any of these Zoom shows?
I did one. It made me feel sad.
There's no middle ground. I feel like they're either a nice thing where you're seeing friends, or you're like, man, I didn't know these people that well, and I feel bummed out.
Well, I was lucky in that the one I did, one, you can hear the audience. I've heard that that's not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I was grateful for that. And then actually, Rachel Mack, who you know, who's also my friend, was on the show.
I love Rachel Mack.
And it was
lovely to
see her.
We're going to get Rachel Mack on here. It's tricky because she just had a baby.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
For people who didn't know yet.
She hasn't told her parents yet, and I am sending this to them, and that's how they're gonna find out. And they're gonna be like, wait, we have to listen to 10 minutes of you guys talking about bullshit before we find out the big news.
So it was fun to see Rachel in that way, but it also just made me sad and wistful for the days where we'd be booked on a regular show together.
Right, that you is know. True. Yep, okay. Sometimes I worry this is the new normal.
Oh my God, I don't even say it. I can't. I don't know. Maybe in a few weeks I'll be singing a different tune after a few more Zoom shows. But right now I'm like, that was fine, but I don't know.
The old governor of California is saying it's a matter of weeks, no longer months. So we'll see. I don't know.
Okay, you know, I'll believe it. You know, I also don't know if that's a good idea.
I know, that's my concern. And like Georgia opened up like restaurants today, and we probably shouldn't talk too much about this shit because I know it's probably annoying to people or bumming them out further, but
sure.
I don't know. I did a fun Zoom show the other day that I want to like give a little promo to because it was fun. It's Dumb Love. It's a podcast in Atlanta with Jen O'Neill Smith and Sally Brooks.
Both great. Nice.
It was really, really fun. So check that one out. And they do a good job of paying the comics and stuff. It's really cool. So get over there and let's talk about some Sum 41.
Yeah,
we're in too deep for this episode, and we gotta.
Oh boy.
Man. I think I'm all out.
Like,
so.
It feels like summer. I did become curious as to why they're called Sum 41 today.
I was going to ask this very question. I'm glad you already. I was going to quiz you guys, but.
Well, I got curious after I was reminded as I was listening to All Killer No Filler. I forgot it had that sweet intro. I don't know if you heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, yes.
And
should we listen to it?
We should listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on one second. I have it pulled up here.
I mean, I was filled with joy the moment it began.
I had never listened to this album.
Oh my God, I forgot.
I had never listened to this album front to back. And so you're talking about the song Introduction to Destruction, correct?
Yes.
All right, let's
which I would argue is by definition filler, but play it.
Is that picking up?
Children of the beast embrace, to scorn and hate the human race, consume the light that hugs the earth, and aid the womb in giving birth, to a group that will appear, and guide you through this final year. The dark armies then will come, when the sum is 41.
So now, of course, I heard that and I was like, that's not a real thing. That's not why it's Sum 41, right?
No, no.
So I looked into it and no.
And you want to go ahead and tell the, I'm sure that we have some listeners who are very curious about this.
Well, they decided to name their band on the 41st day of one summer.
And of so like summer it, vacation or something, right?
Yeah,
or
it was dependent on, you know, 41 days from the last day of school.
So it was September 28th, so it wasn't even summer, which annoyed me when
Canada,
I researched this.
I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, they're all off. It's backwards, actually.
Yeah, I'm confused, so really not sure.
The toilet water flushes the other way and stuff. It's a very strange place.
Super awkward.
We heard a little bit of the song already. You had the song Nothing on My Back on your playlist, correct?
I did. That,
okay, let's go ahead and listen to it since I started it. Okay. Let's hear a little bit of it and we'll talk about it.
Love it. What I love about this song is that it's a Green Day song.
I was just gonna say it reminds me of Green Day. That's so funny.
It's very, very Green Day.
Their first album is very like not fully throughout, but that song is like there's like an instrumental part where it's basically Longview.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I see. Somebody was a fan of Dookie. I'm right there with you.
And Tommy doesn't know the album, but he is a fan.
Oh my God.
You shit
concept.
Freak. I'm switching it up. Mm-hmm. I really was like, so I've never listened to this album in full before. I liked the hits off of it. We're going to listen to them as well, but I'll just bring, I've already mentioned them in my little fun intros, but Fat Lip and In Too Deep, I loved. And they're songs that you kind of couldn't avoid in the early 2000s because they'd be in movie soundtracks. I didn't even look this up, and I will, like I said, we'll talk about it. I'm pretty sure at least one of them is in an American Pie movie,
or
some
probably.
Teen movie. I feel like it's In Too Deep, and I remember being like, "This." It almost feels like they heard that song and go, "We have to write a movie for this song to be in because it's perfect for it." But listening to the intro and I don't really like demonic voices like the one we heard to begin this this whole thing. We are a Christian podcast.
Well, yeah, you're not trying to go to hell right now. You know, you're not interested.
But and I could be convinced. I'm very I'm very open. But I heard Nothing on My Back. Well, I went for a little jog, and that is one of the ways to listen to music. Determined on this show is jogging or exercise, and this is a good band to do that to. And hearing Nothing on My Back, I was like, oh shit, maybe this album is living up to its title, all killer and no filler. And I loved that song. And then, as Tommy said, I would agree, was quickly met with a bit of filler.
Fair enough. Yeah.
But I did like this song a lot. I liked Nothing on My Back a lot.
Yeah, I think that's a solid one. There are other songs on this album I like, and I felt like I had to pick songs from other albums, but this is the one that I think of as, like, that was the one I listened to the most.
Yeah.
I liked Does This Look Infected, but not as much because it's too, like, it's, like, too, like, metal, like, dark. Like, they think they're so, they're trying to do something that I'm not down with. And then Chuck is just a problem. So, I, you know, that's a whole thing. But this album, I genuinely can listen to front to back without an issue.
Mm-hmm. It does seem like, yeah, he dyed the hair black right after this. Yeah. This was the fun one, and then he never looked back, it seems like.
Yeah, I feel like that's a common thing with these types of bands, is like they'll get famous and then they'll get on drugs and sad, and it is reflected.
Yes.
Yeah, it's rough.
I was also kind of jealous listening to this of, like, I could definitely see this being an album that I would have listened to on repeat and have a lot of nostalgia for it now if I had listened to it then.
Yeah,
listening to the song, I want to find out which one it was that I was like, never mind. I was like,
Amanda, whatever.
I think the one I heard was Rhythms, that I was like, I have no interest. Or maybe it was Never Wake Up.
Oh, sure.
Oh, wait, no, it wasn't that. I don't mind that song. It was Rhythms. I don't know even what it was. You know what? It's so funny. I just said that. It's Motivation that pissed me off. Motivation was the one that I was like, I have no interest in this song. That one I actually didn't mind. This was already, I don't usually have time to listen to the whole album, to a whole album of a band. I don't, for the show every week, but it was fun to listen to that one.
Yeah, I listened to most of the All Killer No Filler and Does This Look Infected today. It really added something to my day. kind of a theme throughout. I know I'm to be defending them, and I do defend this
you
album.
You are to be defending them.
I am, and I do, in fact, defend All Killer No Filler. I think it's fair to say that there's a bit of filler, but I think
careful,
it's pretty
Weldon.
Strong.
You ought to be defending them.
Excuse me. a great shame for me to even say.
I watched a bunch of stuff about the band today on YouTube. I watched the whole Congo documentary, which is fascinating.
Yeah. Have you seen that page?
I have not.
We were sent it. We'll get to it in the Facebook comments, but we were sent this by someone who's a huge fan of this band. They have a 52-minute long documentary on YouTube called Rocked, Sum 41 in the Congo.
Which they totally, Newfound Glory did the same thing. And
is that true?
No, that's not true.
Oh, Jesus. I was like, that would be such an insane ripoff.
Everyone went to the Congo back then. but I watched that. I watched like a full oral history where it was just Derek talking about the band for 20 minutes. And I wanted to not like him. And he's very likable in surprising ways. Like the first thing I noticed when I watched the first thing about them, how he spells Derek, I got to bring it up. It's,
yeah.
Which isn't his, not his choice.
Canadian,
not right. his choice.
No, that's true.
It's D-E-R-Y-C-K. Yes. And I was like, what a brutal name. And then they cut to a different band member and it just said Cone over his, as his name. And I was like, oh no. Yeah. Which is not, that was, Cone is his choice. But.
Yeah. They do also have weird nicknames, I was observing on Wikipedia today. I had not been previously aware of their nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
What do we got? Do you remember any of
I believe
the
that
ones?
I noticed in particular that Derek Whibley, his nickname is reported to be Busy D, and that's spelled B-I-Z-Z-Y-D.
I'm very happy we're talking about this right now because I wanted to talk about one as well that I found, because there is in fact a current member of Sum 41 named Tom Thacker, and it is very close to the spelling of my name, and he looks identical to me. When you click on his, I haven't looked at his Instagram or anything. I don't know if he has one. He's 46 years old, and he, I was looking at one. He's a very white man. I think he's from British Columbia. Just like I think the rest of these guys. So he, there's a picture of him on his Wikipedia of him, performing for, with Sum 41, who's not the first band that they list. The band that they list first for him is Job, and he's been with them since 93. He joined Sum 41, I think, as a touring, as a touring guitarist. In 2006, and he formally joined the band. This, it's so funny. It says this in a special chat on the website absolutepunk.net. How special was that chat?
So this guy got in pretty late.
Yeah, so he's in the later part. Although they have an album that came out like last year, I think.
I know. God bless them. I did
Paige,
not know.
You know damn well you're to be defending them.
I can defend what I know, and that is it.
So I'm going to show you guys in case you haven't seen it, but I'll describe it to the people listening at home. So that's him. Oh, I put the fuck next to his name or next to his face. He's got a fedora on in the picture.
He sure does, yeah.
And he's also got a kerchief around his neck. Very exciting. And his... His nicknames, he has two also known as. Did you guys happen to see either of these?
No.
I saw them.
The first one is somehow not as bad as the second one. And keep in mind, this is how white he is. Mm-hmm. His name is Brown Tom.
Which, yeah.
Feels like
background.
A shot at me. I don't know. I'm half Indian. A lot of people accuse me of being too white. And I feel like this is a shot right at me. And I feel it, Tom Thacker. And it is noted. His other nickname is T'Ain't. So that's
Taint. That one's great. I think that one's just downright hilarious. So I don't see a problem with that one.
I think I'm gonna steal that one. I feel like that one from now on you'll know me as Taint on this show, okay. Tommy. Tommy, what would you like to go by? Too bad, you're Brown Tommy.
It's already taken.
I was also fixated on that.
I mean,
having said that.
Yeah, the other nicknames that I observed are this guy Dave Baksh. He goes by Dave Brown.
It's the guy that was that old Tommy Thacks replaced.
Okay. Interesting, because his nickname is Dave Brown Sound, and I wonder if Brown
that
Tom
could be, yeah, that might be it.
Is an homage to him, a very, very well, perhaps well intentioned, but ultimately not for the best homage. I'm not sure. I cannot confirm that, but that would be my wild speculation.
Oh, it looks like Baksh is back.
Yeah,
in 2015. It's Pledge Music. The band launched a Pledge Music campaign for its comeback album, and Sum 41 confirmed Baksh's official return to the band on August 14th, 2015. Wow,
it's good to hear.
I wonder what they did with old Tom Thacker. I feel bad for the guy now.
Well, he had other things
too busy
going
with
on.
Job.
Yeah.
He's also, we should point out that Baksh is not white.
Yes, so it would make sense that, Right. It would almost make sense that his name makes way more sense. Yeah.
Yes.
Like he started a different band called Brown Brigade, which would have been much funnier if he were the white guy.
That would be funny. Yes. And Tommy didn't even look that up. He just has a list of every person who's not white that he likes to keep around. He just likes to keep tabs.
Right next to the Diet Cokes.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
Hell yeah.
You got us with that one. I wasn't ready.
I needed a win.
Well, you found it for sure.
Tommy just broke another doorknob in celebration.
Yeah, how did the first one become broken? If you're open to sharing,
it truly. I wish there was a funny story, but it just is. It
there's
just
only a violent, sad one.
No, it's okay, just all right. It's just like off the hinge, and there's no. Much like when a marriage ends, sometimes there's not a big event, just a slow erosion.
Kind of like Derek Whibley and Avril Lavigne.
Exactly. Or... Yes.
Yes. Here we go.
Damn, I was trying to find a way to bring up Avril.
Yes. Yeah, it's important.
And which Avril are you speaking of?
Lavigne. Avril Lavigne. Yeah.
Oh, I meant living or dead.
Oh, living. Because okay. This was, well, when is it? When is the conspiracy theory saying she died?
Oh, I didn't know there was a conspiracy theory. I just knew there was the truth. And which, where...
Well, it says she died 41 days after summer started.
Oh,
that
okay.
Seems weird.
No, you're freaking me out, man. I can't. I simply can't. I did see Avril Lavigne in concert recently, which is why I was hoping to bring her up.
Oh, really? Shit.
Oh, we got to hear about that. Why didn't you pitch old Avril? I'm shocked.
I saw you
now.
Had done Avril before.
We did Avril.
Oh, you're right. I totally forgot about that. Well, whoever did it must have been so forgettable that we could have done another one.
Tom.
Oh, I'm kidding.
It was Kara Clank.
I love Kara Clank. I kid.
No one
I
could
kid.
Forget.
Never
I,
forget.
But I saw Avril Lavigne for free at the Greek.
For free?
Yeah, my friend works for Live Nation and got us in. It's exactly the type of concert where I would not pay, but I would love to go for free.
Yeah, that's awesome. So
it was awesome.
I wonder if I would pay to go see Avril Lavigne. I might. Not
depends
a lot,
on the amount.
But I would pay.
Yeah.
What do you think is the max you would pay to see Avril? Let's go around the horn.
I would pay $30. That's the number, yeah.
30. Mm-hmm.
I think 30 is the magic number. I believe what I was going to say is 20, 25-ish. And now my answer, not unlike Tom Thacker, is tainted, having heard Tommy's. But yeah, I think in the 25-30 range I would go. I think you'd have a fun time. That's where you're getting hammered, probably, if you're paying. I don't know.
Well... Okay, first of all, it was very brief. There was no time to get hammered. It was one of the shortest concerts I've ever seen in my entire life.
Wow, really?
I don't know what was going on. I don't think we missed any of it. Because as we were... So this is the only time I've ever ridden a bird scooter in my life. Me and my friend rode bird scooters up the hill to the Greek Theater. It's in Griffith Park. And as we were coming up the hill, I believe she started... Was it Skater Boy? I think she was doing Skater Boy as we were going up the hill, and we were like, fuck, we're missing
it. That's brutal. That's a brutal song to miss.
Yeah, but it was kind of also kind of beautiful to be like scooting up the hill in the, you know, in the night
air.
Yeah,
you were kind of skaters at that moment.
Kind of, like that's
Scooter
the
boys.
Thing. Yeah. It was great. It was great. I'll tell you my favorite part. I know you're wanting to know.
Yes, yeah, I gotta know.
So she had an opening band. I forget the name of. I think it might have just been one guy. You know when it's a band but they have a weird name, like or yes. It's one guy but they have like a band name. I can't remember
so
what they
many.
Were called.
Old Bonnie Bear, Youthful
Moon, that type. And she brought the guy back out because she goes, "Do you guys want to hear me play the drums?" And everyone. Everyone was like, yeah, like mild clapping. So she gets behind the drums and that guy comes out to sing and she starts playing a song. Do you guys want to guess what song it was?
One of her songs?
Nope.
That's a good question. Not one of her songs. Okay. Nope. Shit. Who is she married to now? Is she
Nickelback. Nickelback.
I believe they're also divorced.
Yeah, I think they're not together anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, okay. Oh, shit, that's hard. Okay.
You're never going to guess it.
Is it a popular song or is it just...
It was well known. I don't think people liked it very much.
Okay, was it? Damn, that's really hard. So I'm assuming it's not a Nickelback song.
No, it's not.
I accidentally looked it up because I was trying to see the name.
Shit, I'm gonna go with the Switchfoot song then. That's my guess.
That's
I'm gonna go Switchfoot.
It's not Switchfoot, unfortunately. Damn. Do you want me to reveal?
Oh, that's a Switchfoot song. I was about to guess it.
It was Weezer's Beverly Hills.
Damn! I should have guessed it would be a fucking...
You know, because we were in L.A.
Of course. Of course.
Oh, my God.
So bad.
Obviously. Damn it.
Anyway, that was the highlight.
The band was Jaguar Twin. That's
yes.
The band was.
And is it one guy?
It says,
am I right about that?
It says Jaguar Twin frontman Nick Reese.
Okay. I didn't catch their set, so yeah. I assumed incorrectly.
So they were married for 3 years after he briefly dated Paris Hilton, which I was shocked to find
yes.
out. Yes. I did not know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have some insider information to that, too, that I think I can talk about. Let me double check that I can talk about this while you're going through.
Tom's like, apparently she made a sex tape.
Have you heard that?
That was controversial, mind you. I don't need to tell you. That stirred up quite a bit of drama. Some say it helped her career. I don't know.
While you look that up, I did read that Derek got death threats from Avril's stalker, which I found very frightening and interesting.
D. McNamara.
It could have been anyone.
Interesting.
Old Brown Tommy or whatever.
So this stuff, he said the stuff he sent had no fingerprints on it. So is that like sophisticated of a death threat?
Oh.
That's pretty scary.
That's a nice, I like the use of the term sophisticated.
Wait, did it say that or did you just add that exposition?
That was the article. So
okay.
The article.
Okay. You didn't Tommy just admiring think it was... fancy or something.
I said it was
admiring another yeah. man's work.
It's very impressive that he.
Let's see here.
Maybe on the podcast we could pick that stalker's brain.
What was going through his head? You know, when he sent those death threats to Derek Whipley, was it about Derek? Was it about Avril? Or was it about himself? We don't know.
Those are great questions. Honestly,
probably all three.
Oh, this is Derek dates Paris Hilton, but maybe it was maybe this is a typo and he meant dated, but apparently Steve the drummer dated Nicole Richie.
Oh,
so they were a Sum 41
simple
pair.
Life. It was the Sumple life.
That's right.
For a brief time.
Wow, the Sumple life. That's pretty good.
Very yeah, sophisticated.
They should have dated some guys from Simple Plan. It would have been cleaner.
That, damn it. That would have been such a good crossover. Those guys must have not been hot enough.
I guess not. They look about the same, I think.
This is true. I was pretty surprised with Derek Whibley's height, which I noticed while watching the part of that documentary of them in the Congo. I was like, oh, he doesn't seem as tall as I would think. Do you guys want to take some guesses at old Whibley's height?
I was watching the videos. He does look short. So I'm going to guess very short and say 5'5".
Okay.
I'm going to go 5'7".
Paige is right on the money with 5'7".
Which is actually the perfect height for a man.
I agree. It's a great height.
Yes.
I think that Derek is killing it. I think you're killing it.
All right.
Oh, wait, you're 5'7", Tommy? I just thought you were being generous. I wish I could be 5'7", the perfect guy for a man.
The worst dreamer, yeah.
Yeah, I also, and I don't mean to be rude, but I'm going to be. I don't know if you saw the picture on Derek Whibley's Wikipedia page, which is more recent. He looks pretty
rough.
Not.
Is that right?
Yes.
I mean, this lifestyle seems like it can't be.
I mean, I think he had a lot of drug and alcohol problems. And,
yeah.
Well, he's sober now, but he like definitely hit rock bottom, was in the hospital. He said he was sedated for like a full week. Like it was like very bad.
And yeah. You know what song he was playing while he was being sedated?
Oh, I saw this about what song he was playing when he threw out his back. That's a separate event. But that was listed on his Wikipedia or something. Like something when he injured himself, it said what song he was playing.
I want to know that because mine was not real.
The Ramones.
Yeah, wait, I want to find it. Okay, Derek, he got a herniated disc in his back. It doesn't. I've read this somewhere. But he got a herniated disc in his back 14 times.
Holy shit.
That is the fact that I read. I cannot remember the song. I swear it was somewhere. But he is now remarried.
Ooh, who is he married to? A celebrity?
I don't know. Someone named Ariana Cooper. What if I said Grande?
It would be so funny. I don't know.
Who is this?
Ariana Grande.
I'm not sure.
She's a model.
Ooh, nice. Okay.
Hell yeah.
And she's guess her height.
I'm going to go
5 foot. Because models are tall.
That's true. I'm going to guess 5'9".
She is 5'11".
Okay, wow. Well, they're making
perfect
it
perfect height for a woman.
Two perfect people in a perfect marriage. Incredible.
Damn, there was something I was going to say. So you were saying you haven't seen this documentary. I think we should talk briefly about it because we did watch it.
Okay.
Or at least some of it. I didn't watch a ton of it. It is interesting that they're like shining a light on this civil war in the Congo and that they're literally like have bombs going off. Whether it's kind of a strange thing that they're playing their music.
Yes, it's a weird, it's a juxtaposition where they're showing these horrible facts about child soldiers on the bottom of the screen, and then it's very much Sum 41 music playing during it.
Yeah.
And it just seems weird side by side.
I was just reading about it because I while I was watching it, I was like, this looks so much like an MTV doc. It looks so much like the style of shooting and the way they edited the music in. It felt like an episode of True Life almost, but with way more hardcore of subject matter. And then I just looked at it. They did air it on MTV. I didn't realize that. And
yeah,
I'm shocked that it's on YouTube then.
I do wonder if I saw it and it just didn't hit me at the time.
Yeah, I don't think I did. I'm pretty sure I did not see this, but it's pretty insane.
I saw that they were helping to build a school in that area, and it's like very admirable, you know, the work they're doing over there. There's one weird moment though where they take a shot at the Strokes for no reason. So they're in the Congo, they're in this situation that's like really scary, and one of them goes, "I bet the Strokes are just in a bar talking to supermodels right now." It's like, well, why do they have to get hurt?
It's okay for them to do that if they want.
And they can. It totally takes away from what you're doing if you're like, man, it's so fucking cool that we're doing this and other bands are doing shit. Because somebody else commented about that. On the YouTube video, somebody commented a very similar thing, but about a different band.
Oh yeah,
oh,
you
gotta
find it.
They're just trashing multiple bands in this.
It's stupid.
Well, in their video for what is the song? I just watched the video today. It's one of the ones on your playlist. And Still Waiting. Their video is making fun of. Their video is making fun of the Last Night video, and then they're dressed like the Hives, and they're just kind of making fun of these bands for no reason.
It's so funny because those bands are. I'm sorry. I know we're talking. I know we're to be defending Sum 41 right now, but those bands are like the Strokes are so much cooler than Sum 41.
Strokes are a great band.
Yes.
Sorry.
In like a retrospective thing, he said that it was like they were friends with the Strokes, and it wasn't just like making fun of them. But I don't know. You watch the video, and it's just like they're using their font and they're using the set. It just seems like a weird thing to do. Like. If I put out a special that looked exactly like Tom's special and was like, it's because we're friends. It's like, that's weird.
And it's like clearly
it's an
mocking
inside
me.
Joke.
Yeah.
You just you're don't like, get I'm it. Half Indian.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, if the Strokes were doing the same thing back, then I'd accept it. But I'm not aware of them doing that.
Totally.
So, sure. I don't remember that video.
It's a good video. Before we get too far from the dating stuff, I wanted to read, and this may be unfair to everyone involved, but from Howard Stern's show notes when Derek went on, I just have the show notes of his episode, and I think that they're very funny to read, which obviously this isn't what Derek said word for word or what Howard said word for word. This is just the show notes. Okay. So Howard said he read in Derek's notes that he's tired of going to strip clubs. Derek said they're all the same. He's kind of bored with them. He never thought he'd get bored seeing naked women, but now he is. Howard said he'd take him to Scores, show him a real good time at a strip club, just to get him back in the swing of things. Howard said that he bet Derek's attitude about strip clubs comes from his girlfriend, Avril Lavigne. Derek laughed and denied that, and said he didn't want to talk about his relationship.
What year was this?
This is 2005. And then he does say that he had sex with Paris Hilton on the first date.
I mean, that makes sense. Yes. I don't know.
And then, last sentence I'll read. Howard told Derek that he'd be the man if he could bang Paris and Avril at the same time. Derek said he didn't think he could put that together, but he has had two girls at once before. He slept with well over 25 women, but doesn't have a number. I don't know where the 25 came from.
Wait, 25 in total? I love well over 25.
Well over 25.
Way past that's definitely that less than 25 that we are all familiar
certainly,
with.
Certainly sounds like it's less than 30.
Well damn. Over 25. So funny.
That's like if you were like, I've slept with well over three women.
I also love the idea of him trying to trash Avril for not loving that her boyfriend goes to strip clubs. Seems fair. I mean, you know, listen, Avril's a chill girl, but I don't know how chill. I'm really not sure. My understanding is she's fine with it as long as you're being yourself and not acting like somebody else around everyone else.
When she bursts into the strip club and she's saying, why'd you have to go make things...
It would be complicated. Yeah,
that would be very, very complicated. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to some of Fat Lip before we move on to our next segment. So this is a song that immediately, when I started playing, it's one of the better songs to work out to for sure, because it's just an immediate heart racer. You're like, as soon as it came on, it's like a Guitar Hero song. I'm pretty sure it's so fun.
Oh yeah.
So here is the beginning. We got to hear the opening of Fat Lip.
Hell yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
That's just a great song.
It's a great song.
I mean, we're all amped right now.
Yes.
I'm so amped.
There's no denying it.
Do you guys remember the start of the video of that song?
Yeah.
So they freestyle at the start of the video, which seems like a bad choice because the opening is so cool.
I know. It's very weird. I watched it earlier today and I had totally forgotten that part. And it's also a weird situation that they're freestyling. They're like at a convenience store.
Yeah, to the clerks.
To the clerks. And the clerks are just like kind of politely smiling.
Yes. Yeah.
It's very awkward.
I just love imagining them going in ahead of time and being like, do you mind if it's just it'll take like 2 minutes?
Well, they're Canadian. They're definitely polite.
Yeah. So sorry about
this.
Just
buy some like gum or something? Yeah, of course.
Of course, we were going to. I mean,
I was just reading about. I love reading about songs like this. The backgrounds. So this is about lead singer Derek Whibley's parents. His parents wanted him to be just another normal person, but Derek wanted to do what he loved. At concerts, he explained that this was about his parents and about being a teenager, doing whatever the hell you want and not giving a damn about what other people think about it. So yeah, of course that's what it's about. Nobody needed it.
Pretty straightforward. Yeah, got it. I'm there. I mean, I'm happy that there's a song. Like, I feel like that's I feel like every band of this type needs that song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The, you know, I'm not going to conform, you know.
Oh,
conform.
Yeah.
Blink-182, the anthem. One of the yeah. best.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a very good. Mm-hmm. This is, I think, a better version of the anthem. Yeah. That's. I'll say it here. I think this is better than the anthem.
This is a great karaoke
Tommy,
song. It's a fun
Tommy,
one.
Tommy, you're actively avoiding what I just posited, and I don't appreciate it. Do you think it's better than the anthem or not?
Look, it's a great karaoke song. And
you're really pissing me off right now. I'm going to break the fucking doorknobs.
The only other choice I question is the one use of echo in the song is on the line. The doctor said my mom should have had an abortion.
I'm
glad you brought this up. I wanted to talk about it, and I think it's what makes it better than the anthem.
I don't think the anthem brings up abortion at all.
And they certainly don't echo the term abortion, abortion, abortion. I'm pretty sure he drops the A in the echo part.
Yes, yes.
Abortion. Mm-hmm. Which yeah. is just, I think, a great punk move. It's the one part of the song that feels like it really is, like, how the fuck is this on the radio? It's so good.
In the radio edit, was it something different? Or did they truly say abortion?
Yeah, I think in the radio edit is, the doctor said my mom should have had more prenatal vitamins.
Adal vitamins.
Yeah, then I'd be healthier. And her too.
Her nails were very brittle when I was born.
A cool thing from this oral history thing I watched was the way they got discovered was they'd sent their demo out to a bunch of record labels. No one really answered. And then they had this video of them doing pranks with their own music playing under it. And they sent that around and like everyone wanted to sign them. I think it was like the Jackass element of it because that was huge at the time. And I think people just realized that was like they were getting a 2-for-1 there.
Wait, I think maybe we should start doing that. The intro of the video is supposed to be like?
Oh,
no,
maybe
like
that's,
prank?
That could be
I think
it.
So, yeah.
That okay. makes a lot of sense.
I see. Yeah.
I think we should have me, like, you should be, like, standing with a like, Tim behind you on his, like, hands and knees, and our podcast is playing in the background, and then I push you
tabletop, yeah.
Yeah, and I think then we'd go viral, and people would be like, but what's that podcast in the background?
Yeah, send that to Forever Dog.
Before we get any further into the show, we do have a regular segment we should get to. I honestly forgot that I had this, or I would have done it earlier. So each week, we have our resident snob of the show, Jared Thompson, friend and foe of the podcast, the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, and the co-founder of the Limestone Comedy Festival, which has been rescheduled to September. Hopefully it happens then. Who knows what the hell is going to happen with these festivals. But I have faith that Limestone will happen. But Jared sends a voicemail in each week, usually very negative about whatever band we're talking about. I'm very curious. He was very quick to send this one in. So here's our regular segment. They went to Jared.
What's up, y'all? It's this week's They Went to Jared. The boys are going to have Paige Weldon on discussing Sum 41. I like Paige a lot. She's really funny. She just was at the Comedy Attic not that long ago. And I had a good time talking to her backstage as well as how funny she is. But we're going to have a disagreement on our hands here because this is just trash. This is exactly, I mean, they fall squarely and really with no wiggle room in They Only Exist for Hot Topic to be able to sell their shirts. There's nothing good about this band at all. Like, they're honestly, like, from all accounts, other than I guess the little kids that listened to them when they were first popular, like, they just existed to be made fun of. And I don't really, I mean, it's like 15th wave emo, I guess, and it was just nothing. So I'm sorry to say. But, I mean, hopefully what you guys will talk about is, like, what led to this band. And there are some things that are sort of in the, you know, in the pantheon of emo that are worth listening to, even in the like second, third, fourth waves. But this ain't it. So I get it. As we talk about a lot, there are bands from the 80s or, you know, single songs from the 80s that I love from when I was a kid that I hold on to. I mean, I'm in the middle of making, like, you know, playlists from every year of the 80s, and there's plenty of stuff in there that is kind of embarrassing now. So I get it. All right. Love you guys. Thanks.
That was Jared Thompson. That's great. I didn't realize you were just at the Comedy Edit. That's great.
I was. I will say, you know, sorry, Jared, but I was a kid when they were popular. So I feel like that's probably why I like these songs so much. It's like what you're talking about. Like, if you were into it when you were the right age, it would still hit for you now. And that's definitely the situation with Sum 41.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. That makes sense.
Influences, we should note, they first started playing together as an OFX cover band.
Yes.
Yeah. That's probably who he's wanting us to bring up.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. They also clearly have some Beastie Boys influence going on,
especially
in Fat Lip and some Green Day, like a lot of Warped Tour stuff. So you can kind of tell all the influences. A lot of Offspring, I feel like, especially.
Yeah, well, the hair songs. Especially, too.
Yeah.
The video honestly, feels a little bit like it, too.
Some of their songs still work for me as well. Oh, yeah,
for sure.
I mean, hey,
we did an Offspring episode where, I definitely think some of it's still pretty fun.
Name the guest.
I like that stuff. Yeah, like, you also.
Yeah, Paige.
Wait, name what?
I was trying to get Tom to name the guest of our Offspring episode.
Oh.
I don't remember.
Oh. It's John Ozale.
Oh, nice. I'll have to listen.
Yeah,
to
we'll
that.
Have to have somebody else defend them again, someone more memorable. Love you, Jono.
I mean,
yeah, that was, yeah.
Fair.
Fair enough.
Is my response on, Jared.
We should get a palate cleanser for old Jared here. And that we have a little song called In Too Deep.
Great song. Yeah.
Just a perfect teen comedy song, I feel like.
Amazing.
The song is made for soundtracks, I feel like.
Yeah. Did we look up, do you know what if it was in anything?
I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that this was. It didn't say on the song facts for Fat Lip anything, but I think I just need to find a different website.
Fat Lip was in American Pie 2.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Which all was, right, of course, All Killer, No Stifler, they called that one.
Was he not in the second? I think he was in that.
I know, he was tough.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it would have been perfect if he had sat that one out. But it was the other guy who's...
Finch?
No, who's the dorky one who has phone sex in one of the movies? I think he's not in the American Wedding for some reason. He's just randomly not in it, even though he's a major character in the other films. Look, we should start another podcast where we just talk about the American Wedding franchise, or the American Pie / American Wedding franchise.
Now's the time. I go for it.
I think people need it.
I will also say, I think that Sum 41 is not emo. Finch is emo.
Yes.
Like, yes. Sum 41 is pop punk.
Right.
Very pop.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking here for...
But then they get more emo as they get sadder.
At the time, In Too Deep, I liked better than Fat Lip.
Yeah, I think it's
interesting.
A better song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more fun.
More fun. The video is great. I love the video.
I've watched that video a lot of times.
It's awesome.
I like bring it up and make people watch it sometimes as an example of a fun music video.
It's a great music video. I'm not seeing... This is so weird because I know that it's in something. I'm just not...
It's gotta be.
For some reason on Wikipedia, it's not saying. Maybe on... Let's see.
Well, Wikipedia is wrong.
That's true.
And that's what we know for sure.
In Too Deep, in a movie. I'm looking up In Too Deep. Oh, damn it. Some 41.
There's while you look that up, there's one other thing I wanted to bring up while we have a second. I don't know if you knew about this page, but they got sued, Some 41, for throwing a hot dog at a man. You aware of that?
Who throws a hot dog?
I didn't know that, but I mean...
The man sought $6 million for his trauma and legal fees.
What was the setting of this event?
Minor league baseball game.
Okay. All right. And what was the guy doing?
That's a good question.
So they heckled and threw a hot dog at him, and they did it to have footage for the DVD for Does This Look Infected? So there's clear evidence of it happening.
I fully defend their actions. I love it.
Where does he come up with that dollar figure is my concern.
I don't know.
Dude, if I was at a game and Sum 41 threw a hot dog at me for a bit, I'd be like, this is better than catching a ball. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah, you catch a... Oh, you ask anybody. You catch a baseball off of a fucking bat, or you catch a Sum 41 hot dog.
Way more rare.
Way more rare, and you got a free hot dog as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I do want to point out, this is saying In Too Deep appears on the soundtracks of movies and TV shows like American Pie 2, Malcolm in the Middle, and Cheaper by the Dozen.
Oh, Malcolm in the Middle.
So do they have both of these songs in American Pie 2?
Maybe.
I guess I could see it, but that seems... like a lot. It really feels like they were on some 41's dick here to put two songs in the same band in the same soundtrack.
Well, they both just really worked with a part of the movie.
It's true. I definitely see it for Malcolm in the Middle too.
Oh yeah, for sure. Malcolm in the Middle, great show.
So good.
Oh yeah.
I want to go back and watch that. It's fun. It's so funny to think that old Walter White was just a bitch-ass dad. And,
also, I think of Malcolm in the Middle as kind of the original Fleabag. I don't know if you remember. He turns to camera.
True.
So
I think a lot of people are saying that. And in fact, every man who listens to this show should tweet at Phoebe Waller.
You stole that.
Before Hot Priest, it was Hot Reese.
Reese would have fit right into Sum 41.
Yes, with that hair.
He had the Dickies shorts, the spiked hair, everything.
Do you think this is true? She was like, oh, what if Hot Reese could just be Hot Priest? This is clicking too well for me.
Yeah, it's a little too convenient, I think.
If you look closely at that little poster at the side of Tommy's head, that is all the papers of him drawing this together. All right, we should listen to another song here because we are deep into this show. So one of the songs you picked on here, I believe, was Pieces off of Chuck. Is that right?
Yeah, I found that to be the best song off of Chuck.
Okay, I'm gonna play a little bit of it now. We got the hang of it.
They're getting serious. They're getting soft.
That's a little more emo for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Did you see the video for this one?
It's a sad sack video.
Oh, no. What year is this one?
This is on Chuck, which is the album after they came back from the Congo.
And then, yeah, it's named after the guy who saved their life in the Congo.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. So they were all fucked up after that, and then they wrote all these sad songs, and this was one of them.
Let's see. Man, what a! I liked that song though. Compared to some of the other stuff.
Yeah.
later. This is about a kid who tries to fit in or be cool like everyone else, and even though he might get acceptance, he doesn't feel like the real him. Then he realizes that he doesn't need those people because if he can't be himself around them, he's better off on his own.
Yeah.
So
man, he's still going through it all these years later. He's still not quite fitting in.
Nope. It is kind of, we've talked about this before on the show, but, and this was, I mean, it's, I think 2004, so it's not that much later, but man, the longer somebody makes lyrics like these, like the fitting in as a kid stuff, it's like, you can't be 48 talking about, like, and I was not a jock, I was a nerd.
Like it's I'm also kind of like, feels like laced into this song is that you're pushing people away because of your drug problem, potentially, could be involved. Yes. Sorry to, be, you know, but I'm looking at Derek in that video.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, his hair is no longer bleached blonde.
Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. It's not spiked up either. It's down.
It's down. It's down out of respect for the song.
It's at half mast.
You know, I feel like, but I do feel like every artist has their "I'm better off on my own" lyric.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Taylor I gotta Swift's give him got some it. Credit. Everyone's He's only 24. It. Sorry, yeah. It is true that it's very littered across this type of music for sure.
Yeah, well, they're touring; they can't be in a relationship. That's the thing.
Exactly. He was 24 here, which the older I get, I'm like, that is. I guess that you get it then. You can kind of be a little bitch at 24. But,
You can still not be fitting in at 24, I guess.
That's true. Let's hear... Oh, shit. Why do I have a message? Oh, I see what's happening here. All right, let's hear the song Still Waiting. And this is a song about how I'm still waiting for Tommy to fucking answer my question about the anthem. Still waiting
for this world to stop hating. And I would say we're still waiting in 2020. I don't know if you guys have been looking around.
A lot of haters.
A lot of haters.
People are definitely still hating.
Yeah, this was, I think, one of their singles off of Does This Look Infected?
Yeah, this is the Strokes video. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also want to say I think Does This Look Infected is a very funny album title.
Yes.
It is funny.
I love it. I believe I read on their Wikipedia that they didn't know what they were going to call it, and then they just said that, and they all laughed, so they picked it. And I can't think of a better reason.
That's pretty good. We should talk... There's one thing I want to talk about. No, this goes with this. So we have another segment that we do each week where I like to post on Facebook and get the thoughts of the people. The simple, the common man.
The hoi polloi.
I like to see what the riffraff, who is my Facebook friend group, have to say about the band we're talking about each week. So if you want to contribute, you got to add me on Facebook, you little fucks. Or I guess if you follow me. I don't know how it works, to be totally honest, because I guess you shouldn't have to do that. But I don't know. I haven't found a better way. But we went to Facebook this week and got a lot of interesting stuff. Eaton Levine gave a ton of great stuff. I don't want to talk too much about it, but he said it's his favorite band, and he's the one who told me about the Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie thing. He also sent me that one of the former members of the band, Steve Yokes, is doing stand-up comedy. He sent me a... He's now a realtor. He's a real estate agent, I guess. But he did. There's a clip of him doing stand up, and I want to find a way to show this to you. I have it pulled up on my computer, but maybe I can show you another way. One second here. Oh, here it is. Steve Yokes. So it's popping up now. I gotta.
Oh.
So, I want to point out real fast, they show like the Improv and the Laugh Factory and maybe even the Comedy Store in that video. He is at the Ha Ha Comedy Cafe. It's so weird that they edit it that way. Like, they don't show that, but I'm not going to play the man stand up. It becomes very clear to me early on that this is a crowd that he has brought that is fans of the band Sum 41, because I'll play a little bit here.
My name's Steve. I'm a musician. I was in a band called Sum 41. Now I am not.
That, I don't know if any of you listeners have ever tried the art of stand-up comedy before, but normally when now I'm here, it would not get crazy raucous applause.
No. I also,
unless they are fans, yeah.
I got curious while you were talking about this to see what his nickname was. Not that interesting. It's Steve-O-32. I'm not sure.
Truly insane that he would pick the name Steve-O at all. It really is an ode to their cover band roots, where it feels like they were almost trying to be a cover band of Jackass. Mm-hmm. And so, like you said before, Tommy, I think Jackass is for sure something they were inspired by. And
we all were.
Going by Steve-O, of
during
course.
That time. Come on. I'm kind of kidding.
I mean, I definitely loved a good prank, I will admit. So, for sure. But, man, Steve-O. All right.
Yeah.
I couldn't watch the whole video. It was kind of funny to see. I mean, it's clearly Sum 40. This video is posted by Sum 41 TNS. And it's all people just praising how funny he is. And I'll just say this. It ain't all killer, no filler. But good for him. He's trying to. It seems like it's him trying something for the first time. I don't know, but it was interesting for sure.
Okay.
So that was one of the Facebook comments. We got. I don't want to go through this stuff too much, but yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff. He's the one who shared with me that video of the documentary we've talked about a couple times now. Gwen Sunkel writes, Sum 41 this has been, am I right? And I liked it, and I'm gonna say on air, I didn't understand, but I didn't totally get the joke in that
one. I'm not sure.
Sum 41, like 41, what is it that it's been 41 days of quarantine? I've lost track, because that would be pretty crazy. Or maybe
it's more. It feels like
it probably
more.
Should be more. Tommy's on day 12, which I think is fucked up, but
well, you had some stuff you had to do.
I do. Whenever people post, like, I saw someone in my timeline say they were on day 3 of quarantine. It's like, what's wrong with you? It's like, show me the tweet, because no one said
that.
Yeah,
I want to see it.
No one said that.
Yeah.
Who would say that openly right now and have it not be a joke?
And maybe you should reach out to them and make sure they're okay, rather than making fun of them.
Shame them publicly. Yeah.
What's just going on, buddy?
Get your measly likes and get the hell out of here. Terrence Hartnett, former birthday boy, which you can say about almost anybody who's a recent birthday boy. I mean, maybe former even yesterday. Birthday boy. Not the sketch group, just it was his birthday recently.
Got it.
He says, when I was 12 or 13, I got their first album on CD, and it came with a concert DVD, and he sounded so much worse live that I remember thinking it couldn't be the same guy. I asked my brother if it was like a fan who had won a contest. Damn. Going in on Derek. I don't think we asked. Did you ever see them live?
I did. So I went to a lot of concerts with my mom when I was this age. My mom's tight. And I texted her today. I said, did we ever see Sum 41? And she confirmed we did. We saw them at this venue at UC San Diego. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember it. So it probably wasn't that great.
Well, you were blackout drunk, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I was fucked.
That time she did have time.
Don't worry. No, I don't remember them in concert. And I remember a lot of other, I remember Sugar Cult.
Oh, very, bouncing off the walls.
Very clear memory. Wow. Yes, a shirt I got in trouble for wearing in middle school. You can't say cult. But I did see them, but I don't remember it at all.
Damn, that is wild. Sorry. All right, I mean that's pretty damning.
It does say a lot. Yeah.
I wonder if I saw them with other bands. Like I saw that they were opening for like Blink-182 and stuff. And I definitely saw Blink-182, but I think I saw Blink-182 when they were with Green Day.
Oh shit, that's a fun show.
Yeah, I mean I flipped. I was so excited for that.
Yeah. Okay. See
here. Damn.
No, that's wild. That's quite a show to see. I feel like I'd be freaking amped after a show like that. I'd lose my damn mind.
I also went to a tour that was Green Day, Newfound Glory, and Good Charlotte.
Hell yeah.
Damn. It's like those shows would be like the brought to you by Stand By Your Band. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. We had a bunch of people write in this week. So, some of them I will skip, but Jeff Rickles wrote, Fat Lip has some of the dumbest lyrics I've ever heard. I will say, though, that the music video was fun at the time, and when it included the hair metal parody of Pain for Pleasure at the end, I really loved it. Interesting. Hmm. I don't know if I agree with the lyrics being that dumb. I think I like the lyrics in that song. I would
they
agree
all have
with
dumb lyrics.
They're
I
like
don't
kind
know.
Of supposed to be dumb, but.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what I like about Sum 41 is, and all these videos is that. And that kind of just that time is you could just have like a dumb song and a dumb video and everyone wanted that.
Yeah.
It's like, exactly. Great. Perfect for summer. Like, you know.
John Hutelmeyer, I assume that's how you say that name. I'm sorry, John, says, oh, man, they were like my favorite band for what feels like forever, but it was probably really only like a year max. We had a project in school where we had to dissect the lyrics to our favorite songs. I submitted the lyrics to Still Waiting, but had some commitment that got me out of the class, so I actually missed the project. I was informed the next day that the teacher was worried about me, and my classmates laughed as the lyrics were read out loud.
Oh, no.
I also probably was like the only one who didn't pick something hip-hop. That said, We're All to Blame holds up lyrically now. Interesting. Mm. Brandon Ream says, Chuck has some good riffage. Brandon, you have lost all privileges to me reading your comments with the word riffage. I kid you, Brandon. You're a good man. He says, that's the only album I've listened to. All right. Mm. Let's see. Lindsay Anamaruma writes, honestly, they remind me of 9/11. And she said, partly the timing and unfortunate title, and partly because of a weird dream involving Good Charlotte and the war in Afghanistan. A story for in person sometime.
Well, Still Waiting is like kind of not directly about 9/11, but it's like inspired by the crazy world at that time. I believe their words, not mine.
Sure. Let's see. Well, we know about this one.
Quick George Bush one. I don't know if anyone talked about this in the comments.
We talked about already. We're good.
I don't know if you guys were aware of their song "March of the Dogs." But they got in some hot water for this song, released in 2007. It was a very anti-George Bush song. So the spoken word intro said, "Ladies and gentlemen of the underclass, the president of the United States is dead." And then the third verse, it says, "And now the president's dead because they blew off his head. No more neck to be read. I guess to heaven he fled."
Damn.
And then Derek noted, he said, "The line is a metaphor for how Bush is so ineffectual and incompetent as a president."
Yeah, I guess none of you guys read. You know that.
That's clearly a metaphor, yes.
Was this from a Rock Against Bush album?
No, this was from their album, the one in 2007, Underclass Hero. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
And I guess when he released it with a note that this will not be a political record, even though the song is about the president getting shot in the head.
Really feel like they took their time to take their shots at Bush. Seven? I mean, they have a 2004 album. It really seems like that would have been the time to do that. But hey, maybe they just really needed to fully ingest American Idiot, and then they were ready to put out Underclass Hero.
Well, ironically enough, it's a segue into our last song.
Yes,
because in the Hell song, in the video, they have a George Bush lookalike doll that they mess with. The video is like a bunch, they're all like voodoo dolls, and there's little dolls of a bunch of celebrities, and there's one that looks like George Bush, and at one point they put a drill into it and spin it around.
Now that's just disrespectful.
So that
here's
was
the Hell song.
That was around
too far.
The beginning of that song reminds me of that Nickelback song that's like, "He's a sad man."
Oh, yeah.
How does it remind you?
Well, this is how it reminds me. I should have played it right then. Damn.
Probably. I like that song, but I like Still Waiting More from that album. I actually did not realize until today. Did you guys see what that song is about? The Hell song?
No.
No idea my whole life that this is a song about his friend who got HIV.
Oh, wow.
Really changed the meaning of the lyrics for me. I was like, whoa.
Or the album. Does this look infected?
Yeah. Little insensitive, yeah. Given the situation with his friend.
Wow. That's wild. This wasn't their... According to the lead singer, Derek Whibley, this wasn't their most serious song, but it was the most personal. Maybe make this one the most serious. All right. That is the playlist. We have one final segment, the rating of the playlist. But before we do that, Paige, do you have any final words in defense of the band Sum 41? Well, that doesn't have to be a defense, just final thoughts, too.
I guess my final thoughts are I stand by All Killer, No Filler as a very fun album. You know, obviously, every album has songs that are better than others, what you might describe as killer versus filler. But I enjoy the whole thing, and that is the Sum 41 that I like. And I like what I like Does This Look Infected, but it's a little too... It's not my vibe as much. But I just think what I like about All Killer No Filler is it just represents this silly time in music and in media that where everything was just fun. And yes. Those are my words on something.
Well put and well done. It's been great to have you on the show today, but before we let you go, we gotta do these damn ratings. Tommy, what do you got this week?
Fat Lippin' In Too Deep just straight bangers. We'll love them forever. Those are an automatic two right there. After that, I'm going to go, I'll say 3.5 out of 6.
That is crazy.
Pieces absolutely sucks. and then the other ones, the other three, I'll give 0.5 to each. Those are my thoughts.
I was going to say I was wrestling between 3.33 and 3.5. mostly just because I liked the number thing of the 3.33.
I mean, both of us should have said 4.1, but.
Or two numbers that added up to 41.
Yes.
Would have been maybe too high. but similar reason. I really liked all the songs that you sent from All Killer. And the rest of it, I still enjoyed some of those songs. But it's hard. It is hard when you did not grow up with them. And also only with a couple spins. But it was fun to listen to them. But also, you get to close this thing out with your rating of this playlist. So, so we do it out of six because it's six songs. So pretty good, really. We gave them pretty decent review.
Yeah. I'm regretting partially right now that I didn't just pick six songs from All Killer No Filler.
I'm glad you didn't, though, because it wouldn't gave have us a
felt,
chance.
You know, I feel like it wouldn't have felt like a full coverage of the band. So I would say I like all three of those songs from All Killer. And then I like Still Waiting, so that's four. And then I'm going to throw down a half on the others, so I'm going to give it a 5.
Okay. I like that. Very fair. All right. Thank you so much for being a guest today, Paige. This has been such a fun time.
Thank you, Paige.
For having me.
Such a great time.
Anything you want to plug? You'd
like, yeah, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Oh, yeah. You can listen to my podcast, Mall Talk. Mm-hmm. It's about the mall. Pretty straightforward. you can check that out. I also have an album called Girlfriend at the Time that you can listen to wherever you listen to albums.
Hell yeah. Check out Paige's shit. This has been so fun. Tommy, you got anything?
Yeah, check out my album, Who's Tommy? Check out Tom and I's podcast about American Pie. It's called this it's called This One Time at Stand By Your Bandcamp. And I thought of that 40 minutes ago. And also check out I have a limited run like fictional narrative podcast. I think I'm going to drop on Friday if all things go well, and I'm going to put the first episode on our Patreon before that. So look out for that.
Hell yeah. Check that out. And I was going to name our podcast Low T Stiflers. like we're funny like Stifler without all that horniness. but yeah, and also check out my other pod, Comedy on Comedy Central, Stand Up with Tom Tikar. It's been fun to play some stand-up clips. And I think that's it. Get on the Patreon. We got some stuff on there that's been fun. And we're going to keep putting more of it. Once again, Paige, thanks so much. Thanks, Tommy. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Keep it crispy. Bye.